This is ReConversations. Welcome to this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate, powered by NNN Pro Group, the market leading investment sales and advisory team. In this exclusive miniseries, Crexie visited ICSC Recon live in Las Vegas from the floor of the convention center at the NNN Pro Group's booth to sit down with movers and shakers in all things commercial real estate. Our mission? Investigate trends, educate listeners, and uncover ground-level insights into the latest industry news. With ReConversations, the Crexie Podcast hopes to provide next-level access into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this special episode of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm your host, Giannis Papadakis. Today, we are thrilled to be sitting down with Peter Manarino. Peter J. Manarino is a partner in the New York office of Fetterman Seifman LLP. Mr. Manarino's practice consists of representing clients in connection with complex real estate transactions, including acquisitions and dispositions, tax-deferred exchanges, commercial leasing, development, financing, and joint ventures for retail, office, industrial, hospitality, multifamily, and mixed-use properties. He also has experience in numerous transactional, traditional and non-traditional structured finance and sale-leaseback transactions, including document drafting, negotiation, due diligence, and coordination of closing activities in every state in the country in transactions ranging from $1 million to $400 million. Wow. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got your start in commercial real estate law.
Sure. So I'm from Northern New Jersey, Ridgewood, New Jersey. And I went to school in New York and I went to law school in New York as well. And it was always just something that was, it's always around you in New York on the real estate side. I was actually originally in on the policy side, I was working at the New York City Council, and I didn't see that as a future for myself when I started going to law school. So I converted over to the transactional real estate side. I joined my firm as a summer intern, actually, and I've spent my entire career there for the last 16 years.
Oh, wow. And what is your specific focus? And we've talked a little bit about, you know, your career path, but how did you choose this sector?
Sure. So my specific focus is single tenant net lease retail. I would say about half of what I do is representing high net worth individuals in connection with acquisition, disposition, asset management, 1031 exchanges, and representing them throughout that process and that life cycle of those assets. And the other half of what I do is the other side of those transactions. So working with the tenant groups running their sale-leaseback programs. So taking them from site identification, site development, all the way through the build-out and then the sale and the subsequent leaseback of those properties.
Who were some of your mentors starting off and how did they help shape your career path?
Sure. So definitely my law partners are definitely number one and two on my list of mentors, just teaching me how to be an attorney, which is not something that anyone just wakes up knowing how to do, particularly real estate. It's, you can be the smartest guy in the room, but there's so much vocabulary and concepts that they're made up. You have to learn them from somebody, right? And then my other biggest mentor in this space in particular would be Glenn Kanofsky from NNN. He's just, you know, he's the guy, and he's always been very willing to share his time and give his ideas and kind of walk everyone through a transaction.
And were there some lessons that you learned early on that became invaluable going forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, my lessons are definitely more on the legal side. I mean, what we do is, you know, managing these aren't, every transaction isn't necessarily a huge transaction. We'll do portfolios, 60 sites, 100 sites. And the organizational side of what we're doing, you know, 'cause at the end of the day, we are trading real estate, right? And there's a lot of process that goes along with that. There's a lot of state formality, et cetera. I think one of the best lessons that I learned, it was actually from an opposing counsel on a deal when I was very new, I kind of called very nervous one day because we'd forgotten to get something signed or whatever it was. And he gave me one of the best pieces of advice, which was it's not about how many balls you can juggle at one time, but rather how quickly you can pick up a ball that you dropped. And I think that's always stuck with me. And that's something I've always taught my junior associates, which is like, there's going to be mistakes, whether they're our problem, someone else's problem, but you have to deal with it. You have to be quick and nimble and agile.
Do you have any favorite mistakes or moments that course corrected you onto your current path that at the time you didn't recognize as opportunities?
There's a ton of them. I think some of them are the silliest ones, like going back to kind of like, you know, a missing signature. I think there was one time on a deal that we were working with the NNN team, for instance, where, you know, it was December 30th. We had a close. It was the, you know, end of the year. There was a signature that was missed. We literally had to put someone on a plane, send them out to San Francisco with this one signature page, just to get this done by the end of the year. And you only have to make that mistake one time before you triple check that, you know, every page was signed in a signature package. But it's those types of things that can derail you, and they're easily double checked.
Yeah. Now getting into a little bit about our focus here at Recon, from your perspective, what kind of transactions are happening in the commercial real estate space, and how has the tenor or legal considerations within these deals shifted in the last few years?
Sure. So again, in my particular focus, single tenant net lease, historically for the past 10 years, where interest rates were so low, there was no alternative yield. What we were doing here, which is triple net credit real estate, yield producing, were very attractive products for a lot of people who needed to get out of managed real estate into passive real estate and seek that yield and not have to do anything for it, ostensibly retire. With shifts in interest rates, it's just changing the way that people are underwriting those deals. If I can go out and get 4% yields in an alternative asset class, why am I buying, you know, triple net real estate? And the answer is there are benefits to it that are just different. It's tax advantaged. It's a tangible asset that you own that has residual value. There's a lot of different components to it, but I think what it does is changes the underwriting of those deals. It's not as straightforward as just yield driven. It's what are the other parameters? What makes these other assets more attractive? Is it the real estate, the underlying, you know, metrics, the store sales? What else is it?
And what are the things your clients are focused on now that maybe they weren't before? You know, what no longer matters that used to pre-pandemic?
So I think certainty of closure is a big deal. So capital, you know, sources of capital, right? So whether that's going to be, if you're on the buy side on that, you know, high net worth family office side, it's procuring debt, right? Being able to get the debt package that you need to make the deal work. If you're on the tenant sale leaseback side, it's securing the disposition. So whether it's those high net worth guys that are acquiring it, alternative financing, merger and acquisition, whatever it is. Debt is where we're, you know, navigating right now. And the availability of it isn't as common as it was before. It's just coming with a little bit more work and it needs to be sourced a little bit more diligently now. So there's definitely a focus on execution and procurement of capital, sources of funding.
And then kind of looking down the road a little bit, what changes do you see ahead with, you know, new capital flowing into the sector? You know, where is it going and where are investors most bullish?
Yeah, so I think one of the places that I'm particularly focused on as both an investor and as an attorney is higher caliber real estate. If that alternative yield is available somewhere else, it's those differentiators. So whether it's like a trophy real estate in a major urban market, or if it's a tertiary market, but it's a tremendous store in terms of performance. So same store sales being, you know, that much above their average unit. Just whatever that special story is for that particular asset, where it's not just about credit anymore and it's not just about yield, but it's those differentiators.
Now, I've got a couple of general questions for you here. Now, in respect to your experience, what are the biggest trends that you're seeing in the market right now? I mean, obviously, the word on everybody's lips right now is, you know, interest rates. Is there anything else that, you know, kind of you're sensing, finger in the air?
Yeah, so definitely interest rates. I'm sure everybody is happy to bring those up. I think, you know, there's another concept of operationally essential real estate. So that goes back to kind of what I was referencing before, which is, you know, what are the other levers in these types of deals? So we're seeing that a lot in industrial, which is an interesting asset class. And, you know, in retail, yeah, maybe you could build another 3,000 square foot box somewhere else down the road or whatever it is. But if on the industrial side, if you've got, you know, 2 million square feet of highly purpose-built real estate, it's not so easy to recreate that. So you're seeing a lot of that in, for instance, life sciences, clean rooms, special HVAC units. You're seeing it in production companies that have highly specific temperature controls. You know, these are millions and millions of dollars of FF&E that tenants are putting into these spaces, and they're not portable. They're very specialty use buildings. And I think that's a trend that we're seeing because throughout, whether it was COVID, generally just the economy, it's a lot harder for a tenant to call you saying they're having second thoughts on this location when they've invested more than you have in the building.
Right. And then what are the implications for you know, investors with these trends right now? I mean, if you're an investor trying to get in to the retail marketplace, you know, where's your attention?
I think your attention has to be honestly in your advisors more than anything else. I think, you know, it's like anything else. When things get choppy, especially if it's not what you do every single day, like, you know, I have a money manager because I'm not a stockbroker and, you know, I'm not spending my time doing that research. And I think especially in choppy scenarios, you want to know that you're relying on the expertise of a professional. You want to know that you're relying on someone who's not only reacting, but they're thinking proactively, you know, two steps ahead. Where do I want to be? Not today, but where do I want to be in a year, 2 years? And I think that's should be the focus of everyone, particularly someone who's not well versed in the asset class, is coming, finding your broker group that you trust, that's going to give you the right advice, finding your accountant that is going to guide you on the future of tax reform, not just reacting to what's already been done. Finding attorneys who are on the cutting edge of structuring these deals in a way that limits your downside scenarios and maximizes your upside scenarios. So I think that's really got to be the focus, is putting the team together and relying on that team.
Got a couple of rapid fire questions for you before we sign off here. If you were given $50 million today and you had to invest it immediately, what would be your go-to asset type and location and why?
So I think it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be trophy real estate in one of those, like, you know, A cities, or it's going to be industrial and it's going to be operationally essential. I think that is a very good defensive position that has room to grow as well. We're not seeing those cap rates compressed as far as retail had. So finding that kind of needle in a haystack of that industrial company that you haven't necessarily heard of, you look at their financials and, you know, they're doing insane revenue, but they're, you know, they're manufacturing a widget that you just didn't know needed to be manufactured.
Right.
And they're investing, the only way that they can differentiate themselves and the only way that they can maximize their earnings is maximizing the efficiency of that real estate. So whether it's the, you know, the conventional factory line or whatever it is, that's all inuring to your benefit as the landlord. And it's really giving you a lot of more leverage in those conversations in the event that the market turns.
Favorite tool or software you use on the job?
It's gotta be document management. I'm an attorney. It's, you know, we have millions of documents on our server. It's the ability to remember that, you know, we did a deal that was kind of like this deal 7 years ago. I need to pull a provision so that you're not doing it whole cloth. That's our efficiency, and that's the way that we can maximize our time and value.
What's a highlight transaction that you've worked with the NNN Pro Group on recently?
Yeah, so again, in that sale leaseback side, on the tenant side, I think what's more interesting than anything is kind of the alternative asset classes. So we closed. We represented a funeral home group. I think it was the first portfolio sale leaseback in the funeral home space. NNN brokered that deal, and it was transformative for the business, the underlying OpCo business, getting that deal done. Similarly, we just closed this last quarter a major portfolio of amusement parks and go-kart tracks.
Wow.
Big box, very large real estate values in those. And just a new way to monetize that asset.
And what's the most common misconception about your job or industry?
Misconception might be strong. I think it's that, you know, lawyers are paper pushers. I think some are, and I think you need to find the ones that aren't just that. Like I said, it's you know, your accountants, your brokers, your lawyers, they're pivotal components of a team. And finding the ones that work in that team format is huge. You get the value of their expertise. And it's about deal making and not issue creating. And that's a material distinction that, you know, we pride ourselves on.
As we wrap up, any parting words you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously everyone wants to talk about interest rates, but I think it's an exciting time. There's always opportunity in markets. I think that this market had become very, it was a fairly perfect market. Cap rates accurately reflected, you know, what you were buying. There wasn't a lot of chance for opportunity. I think opportunity rises in chaos. And I think that when things are moving up and down on a daily basis, that's when opportunity exists. And I think that's when people need to be ready to strike and not sitting on the sidelines, just waiting. I think that's, you get rich in different markets. And I think that's when you have to be ready for it.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of what it must be a really busy schedule for you here at the show. And thanks for sharing your insights. Where can people find you online if they want to get in touch? Email, social media, website?
Sure. Website's probably the best way. Fetterman Stifman, LLP. We're based out of New York City. Offices in Chicago as well. But yeah, we'd love to hear from people.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's ReConversations, powered by NNN Pro Group. A special shout out and thanks to our friends at the NNN Pro Group for hosting us at their booth this week at ICSC. As mentioned earlier, NNN Pro Group is the market leading net lease investment sales and advisory team in the country. To learn more, you can visit their website at nnnpro.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Subscribe to the Crexy Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexy for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.